We come to the first Saturday of this month of May. Mense Maio, Mense Mariae. The month dedicated to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Now, of course, some would say October is dedicated to the Most Holy Rosary of the Blessed Virgin Mary. May is dedicated to Mary. As a result, we have within the month of May, and of course, there's always somebody that's trying to make a profit from whatever occasion may be, we have Mother's Day in the secular calendar. And of course, this affords a great opportunity to many greeting card companies and florists and other jewelers and all kinds of people to make a buck. And that is what some people live for. That is not what we live for. Today we also celebrate, of course, as we honor the Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Heart, the Most Holy Mother of God, the Immaculate Ever-Virgin Mary, we also honor on this particular day, in this the Gregorian Rite, the feast of a great saint, also a widow. Of course, she started out married, and most widows are, and that's what the scripture says here. And St. Paul is setting them up for certain labors that they did, married to one man. Now, that doesn't mean that after one's husband is dead, one cannot marry again, and maybe again, and again, and again. Of course, in that case, somebody needs to be looking and seeing how much of an inheritance there was, because there could be problems there. So don't get any ideas. But it was very, very important to the early Catholics that holiness be promoted. And so these women, and of course the scriptures speak all over the place, our Lord and the apostles and evangelists, about taking care of widows and orphans. That was the first charity of the church, as we see it here and there. But widows were also the ones chosen to be what would have been called in Greek diakonisse, deaconesses. So don't get your knickers in a twist when you hear about deaconesses, because that doesn't mean anything. Deacon and deaconess means servant. And so the deaconesses, as they were called then, no longer now, because people are very clerical minded and everybody wants to be a priest, especially people who don't have any business being a priest. But they were the ones that were assigned the task at the time of baptism of catechumens, especially on Easter Saturday, Easter Vigil, to help the women undress and dress into the white robes. And of course, they did not want the priests or men helping women undress. That would not be very appropriate. Modesty has always been an important factor of the Catholic life. And so these elderly women, and here 60 years old at least, were chosen to help these catechumens, young women and other women who are becoming Catholics at the Easter Vigil. And so that is the reason for that. And that's why you may hear some people saying that this already existed in the church. They were not ordained anything. So remember that. The only time in the ancient world, by the way, that a particular sect of heretics in the church claimed for women priests was a little sect in northern Egypt of Perichoresians, Choleridians. And the reason they were called Choleridians is because they used in their whatever Eucharist that they celebrated, which of course was invalid, as many are invalid today, little cakes, wheaten cakes, that were called Cholerides. And so they were called Choleridians because the Catholics did not use these cakes. We used unleavened bread, the azymes, as the Greeks still throw it in our face. And so they wanted women priests. And not only did they want women priests, and this is something that we always have to be very careful about, they made Mary the fourth person of the Trinity, which of course then is not a Trinity, and Mary is not God. Mary is the highest creation of God, but she's not God. She is a human being, immaculate from her conception, as we celebrate even today, and virginal always, the ever-virgin, immaculate Mary. But she is not God. She is not the fourth person of the Trinity. That doesn't exist. So they were the Coleridians. So they were the only ones that were interested in female clergy. And of course, the church stamped it out immediately. It didn't last very long, maybe 5 years, even in those days. So the women were chosen to help other women. But they had to be true widows. And of course, St. Paul is very specific here. She has been the wife of one husband, having testimony for her good works. Faith without works is dead. If she has brought up children properly, of course, if she has received to harbor, that is, received strangers and the homeless into her home or under her protection, not necessarily in her own household, but into her protection. If she has washed the saints' feet, and the saints about which St. Paul is here speaking, is particular the bishops and the clergy, and St. Paul and St. Peter. If she has ministered to them that suffer, if she has diligently followed every good work, because faith without works is dead. And of course, St. Monica fulfilled all these things. In addition, we know about her, and the Collect even mentions it, about her struggle with her son, St. Augustine, who was a heretic, who was an adulterer, who had illegitimate children. One of them was even called Deus Dedi, which means God has given him. And of course, every child is a gift from God, but not if it's conceived by sin. That is not a gift from God, but nevertheless, the life of every child. And somebody asked me yesterday, because I've been evangelizing among the workers, well, what about, and I was speaking about the evil of abortion, and of course we have something in the bulletin this weekend about abortion that you need to read. And they say, well, what about if the mother has been raped? And I said, excuse me, is that the baby's fault? The baby has nothing to do with that. It's the person who offended the mother. That is the one who's guilty, not the baby. Don't kill the baby because of somebody else's evil. Maybe the mother, too, was complicit in some way. Don't kill the baby. Every single baby, every single life, from the moment of conception to the moment of a natural death, is sacred to God. And so it's very important that we know this. Now, St. Augustine was very, very wicked. He lived in a very sinful way. And St. Monica, first of all, she prayed for her husband to be converted. He was not an ideal husband. He was very abusive, too. So for you women who have abusive husbands, there you have it, St. Monica. And then she prayed for her son, St. Augustine, and there was a daughter and there was another son. And all of them eventually were converted. Of course, we'll celebrate St. Augustine's feast in August. And so today we look to St. Monica for one who prayed, 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 as the Gospel says, day and night for the will of God to be done and for justice to be done. And so we too must pray day and night for the will of God to be done and for justice to be done. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.